chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Can you read that for us, Heather and Elizabeth?
Thank you, Ray. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to that would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. Praise the Lord.
Thanks, Elizabeth. And we call invite Raj now to bring us the message. Thanks, Raj.
Thank you, Brother Ray. Let me say a few words of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity that you have given to us this morning. We praise you, we worship you, we honor you, Lord. We thank you for this time of a Sunday service. And Lord, thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak your word. Let the words of our mouth, meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. O God, my Savior. So as I was meditating on this, I would like to just say a prelude that I have been prompted to speak about Hebrews probably a few weeks ago when this corona thing was happening around. The only thing that came to my mind was that we must lift up Lord Jesus Christ. We must put him in the right place, in our hearts, in our minds, in the world, so that everything will be under control, because all the authority under the heaven, on the earth, in the heaven, everywhere else is given to Lord Jesus Christ. So that was the reason why I've started meditating in the book of Hebrews, because this is one of the letters which is rich in a magnification of Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. As the writer of Hebrews tries to explain all these things to the early Hebrew church. And we can learn so many things about the superiority of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we have seen in the first chapter of the book of Hebrews, the writer painstakingly and meticulously, he provides evidence that Jesus is superior to angels. And in chapter 2, he again provides evidence and argument to state that Jesus was fully human. We know he is fully human and he is fully divine. He was made human so that he could redeem mankind. He did not come to redeem the fallen angels or any of that sort, but he came for us as humans to save us. And in this chapter 3, now the writer of Hebrews, he is concentrating on writing about the superiority of Jesus over Moses. So why the writer is talking about these things like superiority of Jesus over angels, superiority of Jesus over Moses? So if I cast your memory back to what I have spoken several weeks ago, that I mentioned about a reference, Galatians chapter 3 verse 19b. Galatians chapter 3 verse 19 part b. The law was given through angels and entrusted to a mediator. So here it says clearly the word that the law was given through angels. So and also a mediator, who is Moses at that time. And so because of this fact, the Jewish people and the people of Israel had highest esteem for angels, highest esteem for Moses for bringing them the law. And so now, earlier, the writer has shown clearly that Jesus is superior to angels. So now he is looking at how Jesus is superior to Moses. So let us look into it. So the verse 1, it says, Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1, therefore, holy brothers and sisters, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. Though the author's primary target audience here is Jewish Christians, the content is equally relevant to us today, to all the Christians. He addresses his readers as holy brothers and sisters. If you remember the Old Testament, the Jewish people, they were called holy because they separated themselves from the Gentiles. Because of their exclusiveness from the other tribes who did not worship the Lord, they achieved the status of holiness, separating from the things that are not of God. But here, the holiness that Paul is referring, Paul might be an author, but the writer is referring to what he says is holy brothers. When he says holy brothers, the holiness is linked to common brotherhood. So what is this common brotherhood about? So he is calling that we are the partakers with the Gentile churches in a heavenly calling. This kind of holiness is strange to Hebrew mindset because they always separated themselves from the Gentiles. But this holiness that Paul is talking about, that the writer is talking about, that Jewish believers being holy by virtue of their sharing with Gentile believers, this holiness is coming by virtue of sharing godliness or the heavenly calling with the Gentile believers. So it is sort of different concept of holiness from the holiness that the early church, the Old Testament church, is used to. So that was the one thing that we learned when he called holy brothers. And second thing is that we need to remember the first church, that is the first century church after Jesus' resurrection and his departure to heavenly realms. This church in Jerusalem was in a bit of trouble because the political turmoil that prevailed during that time, and Hebrews being ruled by foreign powers like Romans, and there is a national calamity, so which makes any organization in that country bit disappointed and bit uncertain, and so they are also in the similar situation during the time when this letter was written to them. Not only that they were in uncertain and less stable, unstable political, geopolitical situations, but there was also another reason for their disappointment, because when they compared their church with the Gentile churches, it was not looking great, because the Gentile churches even that time were prosperous in the sense they were growing their numbers and all those things. And so they are a bit of a disappointed lot. Then, so the writer is trying to encourage them by saying that, see, brothers, Hebrew brothers in Christ, we are partakers. partakers of heavenly calling with the Gentile churches, along with the brethren in Gentile churches, that gives them a kind of joy in their hearts and the encouragement that they needed during that time. So that was the second bit that we learned from there. And also there is also another point that comes out here, is the words used by the writer, they are sort of reverse to what Saint Paul wrote in Ephesians. See, there are two things. Where in Ephesians, Saint Paul is talking to Gentiles. Here the writer is talking to Hebrew Christians. So when Paul wrote to Ephesians, he wrote, he reminded them that Gentiles are partakers of privileges of Israel. He told the Gentiles, you guys, you are far off. Now you are brought closer to the God's, you know, blessing through the blood of Lord Jesus Christ. And so, but here, on the same tone, the writer of Hebrews is writing to Hebrews saying that you are partakers of heavenly calling along with the Gentile people. It is kind of a reverse situation, but it is for a good reason. Both point of views are correct. Here, on the contrary, Hebrew Christians are encouraged with the assurance that they share in the privileges of the believers, the believed Gentile believers. And now let us look at, so what we have done so far, we have just looked at the time, what was the holiness, the mindset, what was the holiness, and what the writer was talking about. And we also looked at, there was turmoil at the time, and the writer, obviously he has the heart to encourage these believers. And the third thing that we just looked at was the writings of Paul compared to the writer of Hebrews. So now we look at, what is this heavenly calling? What is this heavenly calling? I was very, impressed when I heard from Brother Ray this morning, referring to Colossians 1:13-14. You know, that is the heavenly calling. Heavenly calling. See, this is the gospel. By hearing and believing, we are called from darkness to marvelous light, from ignorance to knowledge of truth, and from death, everlasting death, to abundant life. So that is the heavenly calling, by which calling God the Holy Spirit indwells within us and makes us heavenly citizens, prepares us on this earth by the process of sanctification to live with Christ God forever in heaven. So he has preparing us, the citizens of heaven. He started the preparation even now, that how we are to live in heaven, because the Holy Spirit, through the process of sanctification, teaches us everyday life which fits the heavenly calling. Praise be to God. That is the heavenly calling which are sharers. Every tribe of this globe, every believer from every tribe, every country shares in this heavenly calling. And having been called with such a heavenly calling, the author of Hebrews exhorts us to fix our thoughts on Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords. He calls for singular attention. Yesterday, I think Sister Suman started praying, and she talked about, fix your eyes on Jesus. I thought, wow. So God is speaking to us. He is saying, fix your eyes, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, He calls for singular attention. If we don't give that singular attention, there is every chance that we might be in error. So if you are not giving singular attention, we are in error, because true knowledge of Christ dissipates the darkness of all errors. If we are in the light of true light of Lord Jesus Christ and His knowledge, then errors are clearly visible and we can avoid them. But if we are not paying singular attention to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are definitely in error. Even today, as we are distracted by many things, as Brother Ray said about this COVID and pandemic and all these things, both physical and spiritual, so many distractions are there around us. But yet, the author of Hebrews says, fix your thoughts on Jesus. We must fix our thoughts on Jesus. Why do we fix our thoughts on Jesus? Because we acknowledge Jesus as our apostle and high priest. So the second part of this, last part of this verse, which says, whom means Jesus, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. The dispensation of Moses rested on two pillars, apostleship and priesthood. Both offices belong to Jesus. We realize this because His words are a message to us from God. His words means Jesus' words are a message to us from God. And also we know that Jesus has prayed for us and He supplicated to God on behalf of us. John 7:16, the gospel according to John 7:16 says, "My teaching is not my own," Jesus replied. "It comes from Him who sent me." He is true apostle from our God. So He is true apostle. Jesus, what is apostle? Apostle is sent out, give with a commission. So He is officially sent out from God. Jesus is also our high priest, the chief officer of old and new dispensations, the head of church in every state and under each dispensation. Because of His propitiation on the cross of Calvary and intercession, our sins are forgiven and we gained right relationship with God. What it makes Him is the high priest. Because of His propitiation, because of His intercession, our sins are forgiven and we gain right relationship with God. That makes Him the high priest for us, the true high priest for us. So He is the true apostle and He is the true high priest. He is not only an apostle and high priest. Jesus, our Savior, is also our healer, the great physician of souls, typified by the brazen serpent that Moses lifted up in the wilderness, that those who were stung by the fierce serpents, fiery serpents, might look to Him and be saved. Even now, as I say, I see that I can say confidently that whoever is stung by this pandemic COVID, if he repents and looks to Jesus, he will be saved. So we must pray at this time, during this COVID times, that people will repent and turn to Jesus, fix their thoughts on Jesus. And another, come to the next verse. "He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house." Here the writer of Hebrews is emphasizing the trustworthiness of our Lord. Jesus was infinitely faithful and obedient to His Father who sent Him. He is as faithful to his father that appointed him as Moses was in all his house. Moses was faithful in Hebrew church in the Old Testament, and Jesus in the New Testament period. He is the faithful servant of God. This was a proper argument to impress upon the Hebrew Christians at that time in the first century, that the faithfulness displayed by Moses was but typical of Christ. He was displaying a facet of faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let us go to the third verse. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of the house has greater honor than house itself. In verse 2, the writer argues that faithfulness of Jesus was comparable to the faithfulness of Moses. In this verse, number 3, he reminds us of his superior excellency. He does this by two arguments. He says, Moses so ruled the church, but he was still part of and member of Old Testament church. Christ, being the builder, is superior to the whole building itself. So Moses is within the building and he was part of it. And even though while he was ruling the house of God, but he was still part of the house of God. Whereas Christ is the builder of the house of God, and he is superior to the whole building. Let us explore what it means, the meaning of house of God first. Church is called house of God, composed of faithfuls who follow Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, so that if I am delayed, you will know how each one must conduct himself in God's household. So here is using the word God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. And also, so we call, so house of God is representing the God's house, means the church. That's what it is saying in this. And the secondly, the members are also called as living stones. This is written by 1 Peter 2:5. Peter 1:5 says, you also, like living stones, are being built into the spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we learned that church, we are all house of God, and we also are called living stones. We are also called as vessels. If you look at 2 Timothy 2:20, a large house contains not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some indeed are for honorable use, but others are for common use. So these are the different ways of expressing the house of God and the contents in the house of God. In this church structure, there is no one so eminent that he is not a member and yet included in the universal body. So remember, the thing that important to note is, in this church structure, everyone who is in the church is a member of the church. For example, even if you are a bishop, or even at higher realms, or if you are just a deacon or a member or a elder, we all are members. So there is no one who is not a member and yet you consider as a member. But there is an exception here. God, being the builder, alone is to be set above his own work. Remember, God dwells in Christ so that whatever is said of God is applicable to Jesus. So there is a mystery here. A mystery is Christ is also part of the building because he is the foundation or cornerstone. So when we read about the church and Christ, we read that he is also part of the building, foundation or cornerstone. 1 Peter 2:6, for it stands in Scripture, I lay in Zion a stone, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who believes in him will never be put to shame. Someone might argue that he is our brother, a part of building, he is also a cornerstone, he is part of us. He can't be the builder. How can he be over us? But the mystery is, our faith is so founded on him that he still rules over us, that he is in such a way our brother and also our master and the Lord and the builder. So he was so formed by God as man that he nevertheless by his spirit revives and restores all things as the eternal God. So what we are learning the mystery here, yes, he is our brother. He is the part of the building. He is the part of Church of God's house. And he is the cornerstone, but yet he is the builder, he is the owner of the house. And this is the mystery in that he is not only the brother, but he is also the builder and the architect of the God's house. So that is about the verse 3. Verse 4 says, for every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Yes, we need to understand that nothing is done in church which is not ascribed to the power of God. He alone has founded it by his own hand. Psalm 87, 5, 6 says, I loved these verses. I think you should too. Psalm 87, 5 to 6, and it will be said of Zion, this one and that one were born in here, and the Most High himself will establish her. The Lord will record in the register of the peoples, this one was born in Zion. So has our names be written in the book? Has God registered the name of each one of us in that book? Has he registered that this one was born in Zion? I am sure he has, because we all trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. We all believe in his divinity. We all believe in his sacrifice. We all believe in his forgiveness of our sins, and we all believe in the imputed righteousness upon us, and we all believe in the eternal hope that he has given to us. So our names are truly written in that book. So Paul says of Christ that he is the head, from whom the whole body joined together and connected by every obedient follower. As each member does their part, the body grows. If we think in a right way, how much soever, how much means how great soever, God might have used labors of certain people, he will use them in a special way. He uses them in a significant way to build his church. No matter how significantly he has used these people, yet he himself performs everything. We are simply the instruments in the hand of God. So when we work in God's house, it is not us working, but God working through us. The instrument cannot be greater than God or the person who is using the instrument. So that is about, for every house is built by someone, verse 4, but God is the builder of everything. And verse 5, Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. So verse 5 says, Moses was a minister for testimony of all those things relating to the church, which will be more clearly and completely revealed in the gospel by the Spirit of Christ. And therefore, Christ is worthy of more glory than Moses and of greater regard and consideration. But the faithfulness of Moses is displayed in this. Moses knew that the revelation given to him is not complete. God did tell him that it is not complete yet. Someone else will come. And that one day the Son of God or servant of God will come to provide full revelation. So Moses knew that the revelation that was given during the dispensation of law was not complete. But yet Moses was faithful in teaching what was given to him. So that is the faithfulness that he displayed. He didn't crave for things that he was not given. We see many Christians these days, they want experiences or they want something, the extra biblical experience. That's what we should not aspire for. So let us move on to verse 6, last verse. But Christ is faithful as Son over God's house, and we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence the hope in which we glory. So there is a conditional element here. Please note. And we are his house. Okay, that's great. We are his house. But there is a condition to it. If indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. So that is important even now. As we are passing through this pandemic and COVID situations, where we are not allowed to enter into God's houses, means physical locations, and where we are allowed only to meet online like this, we need to be much more vigilant about this condition. If indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. What is this glory that he's talking about? One thing that reminds me of his glory is Romans chapter 5 verse 1. I'm sure Pastor Wilfred will agree on this. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So that is the glory that he's talking about. That is the hope we are talking about. So where did we get this? Because of the peace that our Lord Jesus Christ has brought with God, so that we can enjoy this grace and enjoy this hope. So now the authors of Epistle exhorts Hebrew Christians who have already accepted Christ as their Savior to abide by faith and hold on to the unswerving hope. This is a fundamental requirement or eligibility to be part of the house of God. God's house is subjected to Christ's authority. A way of being part of the God's house is to abide by faith in Christ and hold on to the unswerving hope. So if I think, if you think, if someone thinks he belongs to the God's house, he need to look or introspect and see, am I under the authority of Lord Jesus Christ? Am I displaying that behaviors that says I am under the authority of Lord Jesus Christ? So that is key for today, because we no longer have physical fellowship, and so we are just meeting online over Ethernet in a cloud. Actually, we have met in a cloud. Whatever I am speaking is going into a cloud and coming back to everyone else. So we are in a cloud, but This is not the cloud that we are looking for. We are looking for the cloud in which our Lord Jesus Christ returns. When he returns, we will go and meet up with him in the clouds. And then, so the aspect is equally important to us now as we are passing through these dramatic changes to our lifestyles. In this context, unable to have proper fellowship with believers. In summary, based on this biblical passage, let us take home today. Let us take home today. I am finishing in a couple of minutes. Fix our thoughts in Jesus. The number one point is fix your thoughts, our thoughts on Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Christ, number two, Christ is the cornerstone as well as builder of God's house. He is not only our brother, but also master and builder and architect too. Number three, though Christ uses some people extraordinarily in building God's house, the real builder is Christ himself. We are instruments, and instruments can't be superior to the person who uses them. Number four is, as true Christians, we are God's house. In each of us, the Spirit of Christ indwells in us, who allows us to work in concert to extend God's house. We must pay singular attention to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So here, Holy Spirit, who is indwelling upon within us, not only is a comforter, he is a comforter to us, not only he who guides us into truth, but he also allows us to work in concert with our fellow believers to fulfill the plans and purposes of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us lift up our Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts, in our minds, in this world. Amen.